Your membership in this fellowship consists of you showing up. Okay? And your membership in the body of Christ is consistent with you receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? And so, do we go to church or are we the church wherever we go? We are the church. Amen? You know, the church is really weird looking, isn't it? You got all kinds of Christians that worship in all kinds of different ways, and somebody has said how odd of God to pick the Jews. Well, how odd of God to add the Gentiles to the mix. Amen? As our friend Mr. Hawking says, that Jesus is the only one that knows everything there is to know about you, doesn't gossip, and would still sit next to you in church. Amen. I was going to have sharing this morning, but I think, turn with me to Haggai. The book of Haggai, it's the founding book of this church, and I recognize that this week the Lord's been dealing in my heart about things, about me, about life, and about foundations, about getting things right. And the book of Haggai was about, back in 1978, the Lord had turned me on to the book. We've done it almost every year. It was the first message we ever did. It was at Sandy, what now, Sandy Babcock. It was in her home back in April 8th, the weekend after April. Anyway, in April of 78. But I had been on vacation, and it's one of those things where, have you ever been so bored that you finally read your Bible? And then you go find something that you've never read before, and you're going, wow. And it's like the Lord takes you there like a heat-seeking missile. And so I had read Haggai. I had never read it before in my life, and it really spoke to me. I tried to share it at Calvary Chapel in Napa, and everybody looked at me and says, we're really glad you like Haggai. Thanks for coming and speaking. You know, so they weren't particularly excited about it. And so when the Lord began to really move on this church or towards this direction, I said, Father, what do you want me to share on? And the Lord said, Haggai. They've laid a foundation and they refuse to build. And I've noticed that in our lives, we do that over and over and over again. From time to time, we need to rebuild that foundation. As we talked last week, Mike Hughes made the point about political arguments and accusations of things. But the fact is, his point was that if the foundations are fine, if the foundation is straight, then all the building above it is straight, and you never have to tear down or, i.e., repent further than where you went off. Amen? Our foundations are in Christ. He is the foundation of the temple. We are a temple built by God, Paul tells us in Corinthians. And he says, that you know that your bodies are the temple of God. Us personally, we're to live like the temple of God, like we're his temple. And so we lay foundations, but from time to time, we backslide, we get off, here's something, it's a really strange fact. You can backslide by being so involved in your ministry that you've put your ministry ahead of the Lord. That sometimes, it's called a marriage. Sometimes you need to stop and look at your mate and you go, hello, it's me. And sometimes God does that to us, doesn't he? He gets us and he stops us and he's going, David, hello. And at that point, I need to repent, or we need to repent. And they'll say, well, Lord, where did I go off? Now, where we go off might be a bunch of different places. But if the foundation's right, we don't need to repent or get things straighter further back than where we went off. Amen? He's not looking to tear down your life. He's worried about getting it back. He's trying to get it back on track. Amen? And so from time to time, that's what we need to do. The people had been, they had left their captivity. And I want us this morning to think about this. We have been dispersed. This fire thing, and it's the reason we're having Terry here, just to say, thank you, Lord. We could never repay, but from our heart, we want to say thank you, Lord. Remember that song? That's Terry's. And so the Lord has moved. He has moved this town, our city. Things have been laid waste. But he's kept us here. And this church here, another church, is the body of Christ. And so, and us as individuals. And so I think this morning, as we come to this communion table, I want us to think about, Lord, you've taken things away that you might reestablish things correctly. Get the things put back right that I need to get back right. Only you and God know what they are. Whatever the Lord is talking to you about, in it he's going to say, go to the mountains and get the wood and come and build my temple. Well, I don't know where your wood is. I don't know what your wood is. Sometimes he shows us, and sometimes it's repentance, and sometimes it's forgiveness, and sometimes it's a lot, whatever it is. Maybe just so busy. But to come and build the temple. The foundation is our faith in Christ. Amen? And so to be right with God, someone has said right with God, right with self, right with others. Amen? That's the cross. Right with God, right with self in the middle, and right with others. At any rate. So, Haggai, the people have been back for 15 years from their Babylonian captivity. They come back under Ezra. And here's the emphasis. We are all in the middle of trying to regather our lives after the fire. Amen? Do we all agree that at some point we're just off? We recognize it. Even if we didn't lose our homes, and some of us lost everything, but for whatever reason, we need our minds rebuilt and in a way. We need to get back on center. And that's what I mean by the wood. So these people, but we can get so busy building our lives, and I think the encouragement the Lord wants me to share with you this morning is don't forget the body of Christ in the middle of rebuilding your life. In other words, you got to take care of your home. You got to take care of your family. You're doing so many things. But he says, now, David, don't miss your fellowship with me. Don't miss your fellowship with the body of Christ. Amen? That makes sense? So let's read this. Let me read it. In the second year of Darius, in the sixth month of the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, now let me stop right there for a second. Place yourself as Joshua and Jehozadak. You're the high priest of your own home. You're the governor of your own life. And so he's talking to us as the priest of our in our home, of our life, and the governor of our life. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and the temple lie ruins? Means that they were being successful. Their homes, they came back to build the temple, but because of outward trouble, they found it easier just to build their own lives and forgot their first priority. Amen? They were living in tents and now they're building walled houses. Means they were making money. They were getting well off. But the temple of God was left. They were getting prosperous but forgot God. He says, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. That's what we need to do this morning. That's what I need to do. You have so much and it brings in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one's warm. You earn wages, and the wages are put in a bag with holes. In other words, it's never enough. No matter how much I get, the law of diminishing returns. I need more. I need more. I need more. It's never enough. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, go to the mountains, bring the wood, and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins. Well, every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and on the mountains, and the grain and the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground brings forth, on men, on livestock, on all the labor of your hands. It's an interesting contrast, because doing well, but working harder and harder to keep up, you don't realize it's just going away. That's a drought, isn't it? Never getting ahead. And it's God's way going, hello, hello. Then Zerubbabel, verse 12, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of Israel, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord and God had sent them, or sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and they worked on the house of the Lord their God. On the 24th day of the sixth month of the second year of King Darius. The people feared the Lord. It means they repented. They cared what God had to say. Do I care what God has to say? And what is the Lord saying to you? What is the Lord saying to us? I'm with you. You know, it's kind of hard to have a conversation with a person that's not on the other end of the line. Amen? We carry out those conversations in our mind till we get to that face with that other person. I don't know about you, but I arrange and rearrange all my arguments until I win. And when I finally win, then I have to go talk to the person or get to the situation, and I have to go, oh, the Lord works it out, but you don't. You know, I mean, it's sort of like, dude, amen? Whatever it is, whatever that thing is in your life, it could be a relationship, it could be your job, it could be, well, whatever it is, whatever it is that you're trying desperately to build in your life. And it causes you to miss, but this, what a sweet word he says. The Lord answers back, I'm with you, I'm here. It's the Lord who called, it's the Lord who sent the prophecy. It's like, will you let me in? He's knocking on the door of our heart, amen? Why? Because he loves us. You remember there was a song years ago about the telephone call from God. And the guy answers the phone. And you hear only one side of the conversation. He says, well, I'm busy on Sunday. Yeah, I work 6 days a week, and it's the only day I get to go fishing. So how long can I tread water? Well, you know, church is a little convenient. I could, oh, how long can you swim? Maybe a hole in my boat? All right, see you at church, or something to that effect on Sunday. Hangs up the phone, and his wife says, was that a wrong number, honey? He said, oh no, but the phone rings again, you answer it. You ever get those times? Those phone calls from God, amen? Amen? But it's God calling. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't call. There is a foundation, there is a relationship there. The other thing I think that's interesting is that in this whole book, there's dates. There's dates given to each one of these messages. You really know when God talks to you because you kind of don't forget the time or the place. Amen? You know it. You know it. And you might not remember the exact date, but you know when and where God talked to you. Chapter 2. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the remnant of people, saying, who is left among you who saw the temple in its former glory, and how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, high priest. Be strong, all of you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord." Faith is a work. There's the work of faith. Sometimes it takes everything you can do to trust God. Your circumstances say, how can I trust God in this? I've shared this before, and I don't ever want to know what this is about. But when a man was thrown in prison in the arguments between the Catholics and the Protestants in the Reformation, they jailed him and jailed him and jailed him. And finally, one of the times they threw him in jail, they took his son, cut his head off, and threw his son's head at the man's feet. And the man picked it up, held it to his chest, and he said, "It is the Lord." I don't know if I can do that, but I suggest to you that in a lot of ways that does happen to us. Sometimes we feel crucified ourselves. Sometimes we feel like something ugly and precious, something ugly has been done to something that's precious to us. And do I find God there? Am I able in my faith to say it's the Lord? To trust Him in every situation. In every situation. It's easy to teach. A lot of things in our faith are easy to say. It's easy to say when you get married because of passion, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Then you have to live together. Amen? Well, it's not meeting my need. When we got married, we promised to be a need meter. We didn't promise to get our needs met. We said, "I won't leave you or forsake you. Forsaking all others, I will cling to you." The other person said, "Until unhappy do I part." It's a commitment. It's a covenant relationship. And this is a covenant relationship that God has. Here's the difference. We are the temple. The body of Christ is the temple. So he says now in verse 5, "According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt," that for us that's getting saved, "my spirit remains among you. Now don't be afraid." What was it Jesus was always saying to the disciples every time he showed up? Fear not. Why? He knows we're a fearful people. He knows down inside we're a fearful people. "For thus says," verse 6, "for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while yet I will shake the heaven and the earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, and they shall come to the desire of the nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, thus says the Lord of hosts. The glory of the latter temple will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give" what?
Peace.
We look at our lives, the longer we've been a Christian, we look at our lives, we look at past things, and we go, "I just wish I could get back there. I wish I could have the innocence of a 10-year-old child. I wish I could have that place when I stood under the bell tower at Forest Home and told God I didn't know what I wanted, but I just wanted I didn't want to be a normal Christian. Whatever it meant, I wanted to be his. I wish I could go back to those first days with Pastor Chuck. I wish I could go back to a lot of things. But those are the past. Those are foundations. But they aren't the totality of life. It's that place where we come. Sometimes repentance is getting back to where you once belonged, to where you once believed. Because the issue has always been, trust me, hasn't it? The Christian life is trust me. My friend Stanley Vogt said to me and to Bob Scott, David, and I, this is important today. He says, David, David, I know how important the rapture is to you Calvary Chapel people. He says, we Plymouth Brethren invented that doctrine. I said, you don't believe it? He said, I didn't say that. Yes, I believe it. He says, but David, the Christian walk is repentance and grace. Repentance and grace. That's how you walk the Christian life. He says, you teach the people repentance and God's grace. There's always a place for God's grace. Repentance can be from very small to every day. Lord, it's a new day. It's a new moment. It's a new, when we recognize it, Lord, I give it to you. Lord, come and help. You see, repentance isn't necessarily that I've done something terribly wrong or that I intend to. Repentance is remembering, it can be remembering, oh yes, Lord, I'm starting to handle this my own way. I don't know how to deal with this. I think about King Solomon when he first became the king. He said, he was 40 years old and he says, I'm like a little kid, Lord. I don't know how to go out or come in. He was raised richy rich. He was raised to be the king of Israel. He's ascended to the throne. He's wealthier than any man in the world. And he's humble enough to go, Lord, I don't know how to come out or go in. I'm like a little kid. And then he forgot that place. His riches and his wealth and his power went to his head. Oh, I'm in control. I got it, Lord. And at any given point during that time, I'll bet you that if you'd have said, is God your Savior? Oh, yeah, you're born again. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I know the Lord. I know the Lord. I'm just doing what God, maybe, maybe not. You dig what I'm saying? It's like, oh, Lord, help me to stay true. But the Lord comes back with us. So building the old life, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa's gone. The Jesus movement is gone for those of us that have been. It's passing away. To do what? To give us new. Behold, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Why does God let the past pass away? What do we always want? We want something new. Every moment is a new minute. It's a minute we've never lived in before. Every breath is a new breath. It's a breath of life that we've never taken before. Amen? Every minute we're alive is a new beginning. A new beginning. And so the Lord says in verse 10, on the 24th day of the ninth month, the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priest now concerning the law. If one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and with the edge of it he touches bread or stew and wine or oil or any food, will it become holy? And the priest said, no. And then Haggai said, if one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these things, will it become unclean? And the priest answered and he said, it's unclean. And then Haggai answered and said, so is this people and so is this nation before me, says the Lord of hosts. And so is every work of their hands that they were offering is unclean. What the Lord is telling us is, well, he can use it for something. The Lord is telling us that our failures, our mistakes, our forgetting him, if we try to save it, it's unclean. That Our past successes or failures will not affect anybody for good or for bad in a certain sense. God's already done his work. But don't try to live there. It becomes unclean. We can't make it better or worse. We can make it worse. We can't make it better. So leave it alone with the Lord. It's easy to say, huh? Some of us are carrying bitternesses and resentments. Some of us carrying hopes and dreams that have not been fulfilled. Some of us are carrying our righteousness. Some of us have never proceeded beyond getting saved. And it becomes an unclean thing. In a sense that it stagnates. Verse 15. And now carefully consider from this day forward. What day is this day?
Today.
Now. When we come to this communion table in a few minutes, what I'm encouraging us to do is to understand that this message is for us. The Lord wants to reestablish the building of the temple in us, our lives, and each other. That he's given us a new place. It remains to be seen what paradise looks like. But you know what? We are a temple in a burned out town. We are the temple of God in this place. What is God doing here? You have to be here to find out. We're going to worship him. We're going to worship him. As the song says, I don't know if I'll walk the veil with him or meet him in the air, but I know what? Whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him. So pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While you're calling in other guys, other people, do not pass me by. Amen? Because you and I become the presence of God in another person's life. So he goes on. He says, verse 15, consider ways from this day forward. Before a stone was laid on the in the temple of the Lord since those days, when you came to a heap of 20 ephahs, there were but 10. When you came to the wine vat and to draw out 50 baths, and from the press there was only 20. I struck you with blight, with mildew, and hail, and the labors of your hands, yet you did not turn, says the Lord. But consider now, from this day forward, from April 8th or 6th, 7th, 2019, from this day, the foundation of the Lord was laid. Consider it. Is the seed in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig tree, and the pomegranate, and the olive have not yet yielded fruit. But from this day, I will what?
Bless
you. The word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month. Speak to Dave Sweet, to you. Put your name there. I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride on them. The horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, son of Shealtiel. I will make you a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord. Here's the promise. God's in his kingdom. This is a promise. This is a promise for the new temple, to build the second temple. And Jesus came into that temple. And he walked it. That's why the glory of the second temple was greater than the first. It wasn't as beautiful on the outside. But the Son of God came into it. And our whole life, our old life, the temple of our lives, was what it was until Christ came in. And the glory that dwells in you this day, and since the day you received Christ as your Savior, is a greater glory. And it does not yet appear, John says. It does not yet appear what he shall be like when we see him. But we'll see him as he is, and we will be like him. God's promise to you and I is that he will present us faultless before his throne with joy. I don't know what your hopes, your dreams are today. I don't know what the agonies of your heart might be. But this day, as you take the bread, as you take the cup, present your body a living sacrifice. Because God said it's holy and acceptable to him. And take the cup and know that you're cleansed. That you're cleansed. It's a new beginning. Say, Lord, have thine own way. Have thine own way. Hold over my being absolute sway. Amen?
This is the end of this message. For further information, please contact Calvary Chapel of Paradise, P.O. Box 295, Paradise, California, 95967. And may the Lord richly bless you as you study his word.